Go to Genesis chapter 3, very first book in the Bible, third chapter, Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3, we'll begin in verse number 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Thank you so much for being here today. If you've noticed, if you got here and you noticed and looked around, and you noticed a lot of our young people, some of our adults, bus workers, came in disguise today. Had a promotion on the bus. This is I Spy. Kind of going into the I Spy Sunday, kind of preparing for our VBS theme. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Are You Wearing a Disguise? Are You Wearing a Disguise? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the Bible, Lord. I pray, Lord, for your help as I preach the message, and then, Lord, keep my mind clear and my thoughts orderly and arranged properly, and Lord, help me to say the things that ought to be said. I pray, Lord, that you'd also bless the other services that are going on. And Lord, thank you that anytime we interact with the Word of God, Lord, if we let it, it can be a very wonderful and positive thing in our lives. And Lord, so whatever you want to do through the Bible tonight or this morning, Lord, just have your way in each of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For our Sunday school opening assembly, I said, if you dressed in a disguise today, would you come up and join me on the platform? And we had all kinds of a variety of characters on the platform this morning. Now, they are wearing disguises. They were wearing disguises. And you'll see some of them before and after church. You may walk up to one of them. You know, little boys, when they put on a Spider-Man disguise, Spider-Man outfit. If you ask them, who are you? They'll say, I am Spider-Man. Okay? I mean, they don't just wear it, they live it. You know, I'm Spider-Man. And they'll jump around and they'll act like they're shooting webs and they'll do all these things. But you know what? They can do that all day long. But you know what? They're not Spider-Man. They're wearing a Spider-Man costume. I'm sorry, but I'm an old guy, and I like to have fun with millennialists, and I'm amazed at how many 20-somethings and 30-somethings are walking around with Captain America shirts on, and seems like we got a whole generation of grown-up young men that still think they're superheroes, and so I'll be in the grocery store line, and I'll turn around, there's this, you know, 20-something guy with a Captain America shield on, and I'll say, bro, whoa, what? Are you Captain America? And he'll look down and go, well, no. Oh, I thought you were. Say, what are you doing? Just tormenting him, just making fun of him. You know? I like cartoons. I liked them all the way up till I was 7. And then I decided maybe there was something called growing up to do. But now that I've lost most of the audience, let's continue forward. All right. We had a young man. Oh, my goodness. We had a young man. A young lady, I think it was a young lady that was in the Tootsie Roll outfit. Young lady that was in the Tootsie Roll. She was dressed up like a Tootsie Roll. Folks, she was not a Tootsie Roll. She was in a Tootsie Roll disguise. There's something that has to be explained here. All right? We're laying the groundwork for the message today. Seems like there's a lot of folks that are wearing disguises today of different kinds. And let me just say this, the first disguise that you find in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter number 3. The devil's always been about coming to us in a way in which maybe we cannot recognize right away who he truly is. He loves to disguise himself. He maybe is the master of disguises. What does it mean to disguise yourself? Well, the definition means to change the appearance so as to conceal identity or mislead as by means of deceptive garb. It also means to conceal or cover up the truth or actual character of by a counterfeit form or appearance to misrepresent. The devil didn't come up as the devil. He took the form of a serpent. Serpent was not like it is today when we think of a serpent, because we see a serpent, we see them slithering on their belly, and we feel that enmity that God put between us and that. I don't understand. Anybody here got a pet snake and you'd admit it? Anybody? You have a pet snake? What is wrong with you? We need to talk after the service. You have five pet snakes. Two girls and three boys. I knew I was going to regret asking that question. I just knew that. You have a pet snake also? Do you have five or one? Okay, aren't you like terrified at night? Okay, have you ever left the lid off or something like that? I mean, have they ever? So they get out from time to time.
One day, we went to the gas station, and when we came back, our snake was in my dad's shoe. I'm like, why would we go there?
The snake was in her dad's shoe. It was behind the stove. Okay, you are so in need of help. You listen, me and you are going to be new best friends, okay? You're going to come talk to me every Sunday, and we're going to talk through this. We're going to talk through this. And because obviously you need friends, okay? you need a good friend. I could be, oh, okay, all right. Are they snakes or are they people?
Oh.
Wow, she's doing a better job preaching this message than I am right now. If most of us applied that last thought, we could have revival, amen. So, what's your name? I'm Jerry Ross. Nice to meet you. Since we're going to be best friends, I just thought we ought to. What did you say your first name was? Braille? Brielle. Okay, or Brielle. All right, very good. All right. Wow. Now I'm just going to crush this girl now because of the story here. Don't get discouraged, okay? But the devil decided that when he came up to Eve, he would disguise himself as a serpent. And he wasn't slithering on his belly, because that became part of the curse later on. Some folks are of a mind that the serpent was at that time one of the most beautiful creatures, that it maybe even walked upright. But it was definitely not what it is today. And by the way, some of that beauty still is there. If you want to get a book of snakes, if you are so inclined, and if you look at them, it's amazing how beautiful the designs on these animals are. These reptiles are. It's almost like there's an essence of their beauty. But because of the way that the devil used them, God cursed the snake. Now, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about disguises. Now, think about this. The devil is the master of disguise. The Bible warns us about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, when he's talking about false apostles and deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So Jesus had called some men that he discipled, and then they became apostles, and he entrusted them with the truth. But every time God does something, the devil tries to counterfeit it. And so Jesus had his disciples and prepared them to be preachers and prepared them to preach the truth. The Bible warns that the devil did the same thing. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, in other words, don't marvel at this, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You see, Satan has ministers that disguise themselves and pretend to represent God, but really they're leading people away from God into destruction. Say, preacher, how do you know the difference? I'm glad to be able to answer that question here. God left us his word. He left us the Bible. You know what? This is a church where you are encouraged to bring your Bible. You know what? We sing in Sunday school our theme song every single Sunday morning. If you have your Bibles, young people, hold them up. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. They get prizes in Sunday school. They get stickers on the chart for bringing their Bible. You know why, folks? Listen to me. I don't want people walking in here without a Bible, sitting down and just listening to what Jerry Ross has to say. You know what? There's a lot of people. There's religions that discourage you from reading the Bible. There are Christian denominations that say to their lay people, don't read the Bible, just come because you aren't able to understand. Listen, you need to have access to the Word of God. While the preacher's preaching, that's why I said, first thing we did, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter number 3. I read the story. I comment on the story. I may enlighten or point out some specific points in the story, but you have the same Bible I have. You know what that does? That helps you to discern, is this man a Bible preacher, or is he just a man that wants to deceive people? And folks, listen to me. I've gone to churches, visited churches, where men have walked to a pulpit, and not one time they didn't bring the Bible to the pulpit. They didn't read a verse of the Bible while they were up there. The whole time they spoke, they called it preaching. They didn't preach. They spoke. They never referenced anything from the Bible. Folks, be careful, be careful, be careful. You know what? The devil has his ministers too. The Bible also goes on. Jesus warned about this in Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets. Now notice this. We're talking about disguise, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. What is it? It's a wolf disguised as a sheep. So we see the devil disguised as a serpent. We see Satan disguised as an angel of light. We see his ministers disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. We see ravening wolves. What's the Bible talking about here? It's talking about disguises. You got to be careful just because something appears to be a certain way. Is it really that way? A person may claim to be a Christian. Are they truly a Christian? And so, are you wearing, here's the question, are you wearing a disguise? Are you wearing a disguise? Other Bibles, examples in the Bible we can go through. There's times in the Bible where we see people wear disguises. Some of you that know these stories, I'll just not go to every one of them, but Esau and Jacob. You remember the story, if we read back in Genesis, the story of twin boys. Esau was the firstborn and Jacob was the secondborn. And in the Jewish culture, the firstborn, that had great significance. They got the birthright. They received the blessing. They received the lion's share of the inheritance. They became the patriarch of the family after the father passed away. The large extended family, it was important. When it came time for Esau to receive his blessing, Jacob decided that he would disguise himself as Esau. You see, they were twin boys. But they were not identical twins. They are twin boys. They were twin boys, but they had a totally different appearance. Esau, the Bible says, was a hairy man. He had heavy facial hair. He had hair on his neck, heavy hair on his arms. He was an outdoorsman. His raiment smelled like the outdoors. He was always out hunting. That's what he liked to do. Jacob was, the Bible says, a smooth man. He was a man that stayed in the home, in the house. We see a story about Esau coming in from hunting and Jacob making soup. And so he was more of a chef, and this guy's more of a hunter. This guy kills the deer. This guy fixes the deer, okay? I'd rather be the kill the deer guy myself. But Jacob was a smooth man. So what happens? It comes time for the blessing, and his mother helps Jacob deceive their father, who is blind. He's blind. So you know what she did? Esau said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go out, Father, and I'm going to get you a roe. I'm going to kill you a deer, and I'm going to make you a savory dish. And then you can give me the blessing. You can give me the blessing. And boy, Mama heard that, and she liked Jacob better than Esau. And said to Jacob, you know what, we're going to fool your dad. And so she said, you go kill a couple of goats, some kids, and then I'm going to take the goat meat, and I'm going to turn it into a savory broth. It'll taste like the venison. And then she took the pelts. Talk about disguises here. She took the pelts. She took the skins of the goat, and she covered his neck with it, covered his face with it, wrapped his arms in it. When he came in, he said, Father, I'm back. I've got, how'd you get that? How did you get a deer that fast? God brought him to me. Come on, what is he doing? Lying and deceiving. You know what? Daddy wasn't sure about this because the voice sounded like Jacob. So he said, come here. Had him put on Esau's raiment. He smelled the raiment, smelled like the outdoors. Felt his arm, reached up, felt his neck, and felt that hair. He gave him the blessing. What happened? Somebody used a disguise. Listen, folks, Jacob was dressed up like Esau, but he was not Esau. We're talking about a disguise. King Ahab decided he would go into battle in disguise. Him and King Jehoshaphat, there was two different nations. Israel was divided into two kingdoms at that point. There was the king of Israel and the king of Judah, and Ahab decided that they would join forces and go into war. And King Ahab, you know what? He was all about him. And he said this was the strategy. And I don't know why Jehoshaphat went along with it, but he said, Jehoshaphat, why don't you dress up like the king? And I think I'm just going to dress up like a regular soldier. And, you know, he knew that the enemy would try to go after the king. They always had that strategy. If they could destroy the king, kill the king, if they could take the king's banner, that was a big deal. And Ahab was worried about self-preservation. You see, I think he was scared. Those of you who know the story, let's stop here. Because you see, he'd had a man murdered so that he could have his vineyard. But an old prophet showed up and pointed at Ahab and said, one of these days the dogs are going to lick your blood. God saw what you did and he's going to judge it. And I thought, Ahab said, well, he's not going to get me today because I'm going to go in disguise. And so Ahab disguised himself as a common soldier. And the King Jehoshaphat's over there, and most of the enemy are trying to get to Jehoshaphat. And Ahab, come on, the coward he is, probably sitting along the back line somewhere, just out of the mix. Let me not get into the battle. I'm not going to put myself in harm's way. The Bible talks about this archer on the other side that just decided he was just going to shoot. Maybe he was in the very back line. He couldn't get a clear shot, so he said, I'll just shoot. Maybe I can hit one of the enemy. And I think God's divine hand took that arrow and guided it right to where it needed to be. And there was a little place in his armor that didn't protect him. And you know what? His disguise did not protect him. Was God's prophecy? Did it come true, preacher? Yes. The Bible says that while later on he bled out in his chariot while he was dying, somebody was out there washing his chariot, his blood out of the chariot, and the dogs came and licked his blood. Folks, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. What are we talking about? We're talking about disguise. You know, David, King David, disguised himself as a madman one day. You know what? He went down. You know why he had to do this? Come on, this will feed right into our message. He got out of the will of God. He decided that God couldn't take care of him anymore. So he went to live with the Philistines, who have always been God's enemies. And the king there decided that he didn't want David, and this is the David that had killed Goliath, and he was going to kill David. But David, he heard these words, and when he came before the king, the Bible says that David changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, let spittle fall upon his beard. In fact, the king of the Philistines, he rebuked his men, said, yeah, you see, the man is mad, wherefore have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that you brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And the next verse talks about David departing thence and escaping. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about a man, come on, a Christian out of the will of God. He got himself in a tough space and he disguised himself as a madman. Was he mad? No. It was a disguise. It was a trick. You know what? You can't go to the Bible and find a good place or anything that the Bible has to say that's positive about this idea of wearing a disguise. And so, folks, we laid the groundwork. It's going to be a two-point message. It won't take long because, boy, it's real simple this morning. Not everybody in here is wearing a disguise. Shouldn't wear a disguise. Here's the two possibilities for the folks that are here. You're either saved or you're lost. You've either trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. By the way, nobody's born saved. And that certainly shouldn't puff us up. I'm not saved because of something that I did. I'm saved because of what Jesus Christ did. I couldn't be saved if it wasn't for what he did on Calvary's cross for me. I was born lost. If I hadn't done anything about it, continued on in my sins and turned my back, ignored the gospel, and and died in that state, you know what? The Bible talks about, come on, we talk about two places, heaven and hell. We talk about two types of people, saved and lost. And so, you know what? Everybody in here is either saved or lost. And you know what, folks? A lost man can wear a disguise. And a saved man can wear a disguise. Now, not all lost men wear disguises. Not all saved people wear disguises. I guess I'm asking you, are you wearing a disguise? Are you wearing a disguise? Here's the two possibilities. Are you disguised as a Christian, but you've never been saved? Disguised as a Christian, but you've never been saved. Bible says this in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There was a man by the name of Judas Iscariot. You know what? He was one of Jesus Christ's 12 hand-picked disciples. Come on, these men weren't assigned to Jesus. Jesus picked them. Judas managed to fit in. I think that at this time when Jesus was recruiting his disciples, boy, at this time, if you look at that, Jesus was at the height of his popularity. And great multitudes were coming and hearing him. And you know what? He attracted the attention of politicians. And he was a known man and people flocked. And he was performing miracles and helping people. And you know what? I think Judas, who was not convinced that Jesus really was Christ, he thought he was a good man, I think. I think he said, this is the elevator I can take to get me to the top. This is the new popular thing. This is the crowd to be a part of. I mean, this is where all the multitudes are flocking. This is where the popular people are right now. Well, he didn't stay popular very long, did he, folks? But Judas Iscariot did not truly trust Jesus Christ, did not truly believe he was the Messiah, but he went along with it. If you read his biography, he was one of Christ's hand-picked disciples. He managed to fit in without ever accepting Christ as the Savior of the world. Think about that. There was one definite obstacle that controlled the mind of Judas, one faulty philosophy that Satan would use to distract him from the truth. You see, Judas was possessed by covetousness, and you know what? He was put in charge as the disciples of the treasury, of carrying the bag, of overseeing the finances for the group. And the Bible says that he was a thief. He was one of Christ's 12 disciples. By the way, every event that took place in the Gospels where the disciples are mentioned, Judas was there. He saw firsthand most of Christ's miracles, listened to his sermons and parables. He was sent out with other disciples, with another disciple to preach. Yet Judas never became a true-hearted believer. You see, Judas also was a thief because he became the treasure of Christ and his disciples. He sought this position of trust so he could embezzle funds. The Bible says he was doing that. The Bible calls him a thief. He coveted that which did not belong to him. Personal possessions were more important than personal honor, and he became an easy target for the devil. What are you talking about? I'm talking about someone that for 3 years, have you followed the disciples, you would have looked and said, that is Judas, one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And if someone would have asked you, well, is he a true believer? Well, yes. I mean, he wouldn't be following along. He wouldn't have left all if he had truly meant it. But Judas was driven by greed. That greed finally drove him to betrayal. All of a sudden, Jesus' popularity waned. All of a sudden, the powers that be turned against him. Most of the disciples forsook him. And the chief priest approached Judas, and he offered to betray Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Think about what Judas wasted, by the way. He wasted an amazing opportunity. Can you imagine being in the presence of Christ for 3 years and not ever being a believer? All that he saw, all that he had a part of. Listen, you young people that are raised in Christian homes, do you realize the blessing that you have? You know what? Judas threw a great opportunity away. If you're blessed to be reared in a Christian home and given the opportunity to attend good Bible preaching church, you're blessed. Listen, don't squander it. Don't squander it. Judas robbed himself of future blessings. He could have been a part of that great Book of Acts, first church movement, but you know what? He was just a pretender. Come on, he wore a disguise. He played a disciple, but he wasn't truly a disciple. Judas opened himself up because of this to satanic influence. Luke 22 says this, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he may might betray them. But before that, it says, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And you know what? He'd played the game so long, he gave the devil an end path into his life. Judas, by the way, is forever labeled in the Bible as a traitor. Think about this. Matthew 10:4, and Judas Iscariot was also, who also betrayed him. Matthew 26:25, then Judas, which betrayed him. Mark 3:19, Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. He's called a traitor, or told that, it's told that he betrayed in Mark 14:10, and Luke 6:16, and Luke 22:48, and John 6:71, John 12:4. Judas then was saddled with unmeasurable guilt. You know the end of the story, how he ended up taking his own life. Why? Because he just decided that he'd wear a disguise. Now listen, folks, you can be raised in church and not be a believer. Okay, are you listening to me? Okay, your dad can be a preacher and you, listen, you're not saved because mom and dad got saved. Every single person has to be saved in their own heart. They have to receive Christ. You can have Christian parents and not being a believer. My grandma's the most godly person I know. Well, that's good for grandma. What about you? What about you? But my dad's a deacon. You must be born again. My dad's a Sunday school teacher. You must be born again. Okay, well, my mom teaches in the Christian school. You must be born again. Okay, my family's been in the bus ministry. You must be born again. Let me just say this, folks. Listen, you know what? I just wonder how many people, you know, I can't help but wonder. Matthew 7, we read this, Jesus warns, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of God, of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know what, folks, we got to be careful, because just going through the motions of a religious activity does not make you a born-again Christian. If you think about what they said there, it'd be like one of our kids saying at the judgment seat, was raised up in our program, but preacher, I helped in VBS, but God, I helped in VBS. He said, I never knew you. But I went to teen soul winning. I never knew you. Think about that. But you know what? I won all of the awards in Master Club and Blessed Hope. I've memorized all the verses in the Christian school. I never knew you. Listen, folks, memorizing verses is not being born again. Working on a bus route is not being born again. Okay, all right, mom and dad, like I've already said, the old preachers used to say, you can't get to heaven on mom and dad's coattails. Ye must be born again. So you have to, from time to time, just look back on the timeline of your life. And from this moment, looking back, and you search that timeline, can you find that place, that spot where you knew that you came under Holy Spirit conviction, you knew that you were a sinner, and you understood the gospel, Jesus died on the cross for your sin, was buried, and rose again, and that you then prayed and received Christ as your personal Savior? Folks, listen to me, that's nothing to monkey around with. I don't spend time in the pulpit trying to get saved people to doubt their salvation. But you know what I'm going to say next? If you don't have a salvation that can't stand up to a Holy Spirit, Holy Bible examination, you better get one, because we're not messing around. This is eternity. Are you just wearing a disguise? Are you just wearing a disguise? Now let's flip the coin over. Sometimes it's a lost person that's wearing a disguise and they're pretending to be a Christian. Well, let me tell you something that I think is equally bad. And that's when a Christian who's truly born again, they spend most of their time wearing a disguise and pretending to be a lost person. Think about that. Well, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, you know what? You say, preacher, I searched the timeline of my life. I just did what you said. I went through that mental exercise. There was that time. And preacher, you know what? I can't remember all the details, but I know God was working in my heart, and I knew I was under conviction. And I prayed and received Christ as my Savior, and I understood the gospel, and I got born again. Good, good. If I ran into you tomorrow, would you look like a Christian? Or would you be in your Monday worldly disguise? Come on, if I ran into you Tuesday and I overheard your conversation, would you be talking like a Christian? Or are you just wearing a disguise? Okay, I dress up and play the Christian part on Sunday, and then, and but by the way, I'm saying, say, preacher, was there anybody in the Bible that kind of did that? Yeah. At the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible mentions two men. He died on the cross. We're up on Golgotha's hill. They're taking down his dead body off the cross. And the Bible says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. But secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, listen, which at the first came to Jesus by night. So here's two men that I call secret disciples. They were saved. They truly trusted in Christ. They considered themselves a disciple, a follower of Christ. You see, Joseph Arimathea was a very successful businessman. You say, preacher, I can talk about Jesus on Sunday and I can sing the songs on Sunday and I can be a Christian on Sunday. And I'm a Christian on Monday, but I can't let people know about it. You see, in the world that I live, you don't understand, preacher. No, I do understand. You're wearing a disguise. Okay? You're truly born again. You are a child of God. But you know what? When it suits you, or when it benefits you, you can just kind of flip over and just play the role of a lost person. You can get into their language. You can get into their lingo because you see fitting in or getting in good with the boss or getting yourself in line for that next advancement means more to you than standing true and loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. Show me anybody in the Bible who served God where it didn't cost them some things. I'm afraid we have a brand of Christianity where they want Jesus, but they don't want him to cost them anything. The Bible still condemns the sins that the culture is embracing now. Makes it a little uncomfortable for Christians now. Preacher, if I really spoke up about what I believed about certain sins of the nation, I could lose my job. Well, then just wear a disguise, I guess. Just put your disguise on. Or you could stand up for Jesus. You think about that. Jesse McCammon is pastoring over in Flora. Jesse McCammon is pastoring a church in Flora, Illinois. You know what? He came to church here. First time he came, by the way, folks, pray tomorrow. First time he came to church was on a bus coming to Vacation Bible School. And you know what? Jesse came and he came and was in and out. You know, well, there was a day when he received Christ as his Savior, and you know what? He kind of did what everybody did at the beginning. He's trying to learn and trying to grow and trying to... But there came a day when he said, you know what? If I'm a Christian, then I think I should be a Christian on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday. And you know what? He wanted to come to our Christian school, and I went and talked to his dad. His dad decided he wanted him to finish out in the public school. He only had a couple years left, And so Jesse McCammon said to me, I said, listen, whatever your dad says, we're going to back it here. Folks, by the way, we do that. Young people can be sent to this church and the parents not attend here. And I promise you, we will point those children to their parents because the Bible says that you're to honor your father and your mother. You're to obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So we don't undermine that authority in their life. And I said, listen, if that's your dad's decision, then you can do it. You should honor him. You should obey him. But I told him, I said, just because you can't come to a Christian school don't mean you can't go to school and be a Christian. Amen. And by the way, he did something that I didn't ask him to do. He did something that, honestly, I'm not sure I would have counseled him to do. But he knew every single day he had to walk in a hostile environment. So you know what he did? He just said, preacher, I can't go to a Christian school, but you know what? I can go to school looking like a Christian. And I'm not saying you have to do this if you go to the public school, but God told him to do it, and he done it. You know what he did? He decided he's going to wear a shirt and tie and carry a King James Holy Bible every day when he walked into public school. By the way, laugh at somebody like that, mock at somebody like that. You got the guts to do it? You got the guts to do it? You know, what he was saying was this: I'm not going to wear a disguise. Come on, I'm not going to wear a disguise. You know, I love it when a young person just decides, I'm ashamed of being ashamed of Jesus. You got to get to the point where you're ashamed of being ashamed of Jesus. And you know, I'm tired of playing this. where on the week I pretend to be a lost person because I'm worried about not being popular. I'm worried about what somebody might say. I'm worried about somebody mocking me or making fun of me. You know what I'm going to do? If I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to be... Listen, if you receive Christ as your Savior, you're a Christian. You're saved. That's what you are. That's who you are. And every single time you put on a disguise or you act or talk like you're not, that's a disguise. Because it doesn't change who you are. What I'm saying is this, we need a lot of Christians. Come on, folks. We need a lot of Christians in this community to decide it's time to be a Christian on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. You know what? I mean this. Boy, they ought to see you walking down the street and know there's something different about you. I mean, they ought to see you in Walmart, realize there's something different about you. And so, you know what? Don't wear the disguise. There's a young lady that came on the bus route years ago. This is when I was in Bible college, and she was living in Chicago, and she came out of the house of unbelievers, and her dad and her mom were very hostile to the church, and they allowed her to go from time to time, but they didn't like that she went. They didn't encourage anything good in her life. I'm talking about she would always need a new Bible because her Bible would mysteriously disappear. Found out later on that it was her mom or her dad that sometimes would go into her room and take her Bible and just take it out and throw it in the dumpster. I'm talking about a young lady that, you know what, she would ask her mom on Saturday, can I go to church tomorrow? Well, if you get a certain number of chores done, you can. And Saturday afternoon, she would give her an impossible list of chores to have done by the time she needed to go to bed Saturday night. And so the only way she could go to church is finish this list of chores. And so this young lady sometimes would be up till 3 or 4 in the morning finishing a list of chores, sleep for an hour or two just so that she can get up and get on a church bus and come to church. And more she became bold in her love for God, and more she became a stronger witness in her family, in her house, and in her school. And you know what? I just love it when I see a young person say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to let the world pressure me into wearing disguises all the time. Some of you young people care way too much about what people say, what people think. You ought to be worried about what God says and what He thinks. And she just became more and more bold in her faith, began to irritate her father a lot. And I told her what I just told you. I said, you got to be respectful to your dad. You got to honor your dad. You got to obey your dad. I mean, I sat down and taught her how to write notes of appreciation to her father. And he wasn't, honestly, folks, I'll just tell you, he was not a good father. And I said, but you know what? You look for any good you can find and you compliment him on it. You thank him for going to work and you thank him for paying the bills and you thank him for feeding you. And she did. I don't know how a girl could do more things right and still be treated the way she was treated. But listen, folks, come on. She just decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand for God no matter what. I'm not going to be a Christian on Sunday and then something else on Monday. I'm just going to be a Christian all the time. I'm not going to try to poke somebody in the eye with it, but I'm going to be a Christian all the time. There was a day that I came and visited her on a Saturday, and I knocked on the door and knocked. I didn't think anybody was there, and I heard something, and something's going on, so I knocked again, and finally she opened the door, and I got about that much of the door open, just about that much. I could see just about this much of her face, and Maria had real long hair, came all the way down to just about almost to her knee, and she had her head turned like this, and her hair was covering her face, and I said, hey, you coming to church tomorrow? And she said, I don't know if I'll be able to, and she wouldn't look at me, and you get that sense, where, okay, something is wrong here. And so I finally said, Maria, what's going on? She said, Pastor, I need to go. Brother Jerry, I need to go. I'll talk to you next week. I said, Maria, look at me. And she wouldn't look at me. I said, Maria, you need to look at me. And finally, she pulled her hair back over here like that, looked up, and her face was beaten and her eyes were bruised. And I'm telling you, if you've got any manhood in you right now, something's rising up. Because I'm going to tell you something, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a man that would take a fist and raise it to a woman. By the way, that's not a man. That's an insecure little boy. Okay? And you don't like what I'm saying, you just wait right back here behind the church after the service. Just wait there. I'm going home, but you just wait there, all right? I'll send a couple of these boys out there, but I'm staying where it's safe, all right? And come on now. And boy, something welled up inside of me, and she immediately starts saying, Brother Jerry, don't get mad. Well, it's too late. I'm already mad. And I said, what happened? She said, well, my dad, you know how he is when he's drunk? He's drunk. He does say he's not a bad man, but when he's drunk, he's. And I said, what happened? He said, he came home last night. She was up in the middle of the night doing chores. Of course, where's mom and dad? You know, I don't get this, folks. Can you please explain to me? And I know this is going live stream, and folks, call in the community, explain it to me. And I don't understand parents that are so against a kid being exposed to the Word of God. I don't understand parents that, you know what? You're a drunk, come on, say it. Look right. You're a drunk and a dopehead, and you want your kids to grow up and be drunks and dopeheads. What's wrong with you?
Amen.
What's wrong with you? Man, two generations ago, if a guy was a drunk, he didn't want his kids to grow up and be a drunk. But we've got a bunch of parents that are losers, and they are determined their kids ought to be losers. Kid starts coming to church and turning the corner and doing some right things, and they start acting like he's the vilest human being. I don't get it. I'm telling you, I don't get it. Man, you ought to be rooting for your kids to be. I want all my kids to be better and more than I was, not less than I was. All right. And she said he came home drunk last night. I was up doing chores because they're trying to, again, prevent her from coming to church. And he came in drunk, and his wife came in drunk, and they're giving her a hard time about it. And finally, she's asking him whether or not she could come to church on Sunday, and she's got all of her list of chores done. And he said, I am not letting you go to that church. You're not going to that church. I hate your church, and I hate your God. And he said, and you're going to say that. I hate your church and I hate your God. And you're going to say, I hate my church and I hate my God. You're going to say it. And she said, Daddy, if you want me to do something, I'll do it. If there's more chores you want me to do, I'll do it. But I don't hate my church and I don't hate my God. And I'm not going to say that. By the way, it's better to please God than man. I thought you just said children obey your parents. You know what? Children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. As a mom and dad, if you ask your kids to do something that God says for them not to do, first of all, shame on you for putting them in that situation. Secondly, that child has every right to choose to obey God and not obey you. Okay? That's true in any earthly authority. Okay? And so she said, I can't say that. And he said, you're going to say it. She said, Dad, I can't say that. Daddy, I can't say that. And he took his fist and he hit her in the face. She dropped. And then he grabbed her by the hair and picked her up and said, now you're going to say I hate God. I'm telling you young men something. Because I'm tired of this, you know, spineless generation that folds like a lawn chair anytime somebody makes a little fun of you for being a Christian. Come on, you show up, you get a job, and you can't walk into a secular place without, in a week or two, listening to the dirty jokes and using the same language they use. What is wrong with you? Are you that weak as a Christian? Come on, this little girl didn't stand any, my wife remembers, she didn't stand any taller than this. I guarantee you that girl didn't weigh 100 pounds. But she stood up and was battered down and stood up and was battered down and stood up and was battered down till she couldn't stand up. But she never did say that she hated God or hated her church. You know why? Because she was a Christian. And she's going to be a Christian no matter what. She's going to stand up for God no matter what. No matter what it costs her. You know what? She's going to be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess I'm asking you this. Come on. Are we wearing disguises? Are we wearing disguises? Are you truly saved or are you just wearing the Christian disguise? And by the way, if you are truly saved, stop putting on a worldly disguise. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of this King James Holy Bible. Come on, I worked all the way through Bible college loading trucks on the docks of Chicago. You come down and work in that foul environment. You know what I did? I walked in every single night carrying my King James Holy Bible in my work clothes and set it there on the desk where the manager was, just so that the Bible would be there present. You would be surprised just carrying this book in what it does to change the temperature in the room. My manager one night was making fun of me for being a preacher. He said, I'll tell you what, Jerry's a preacher. Y'all know Jerry's a preacher. I said, yes, I am. He said, well, tomorrow night before we start the night, you're going to preach a message to everybody. Amen. You know, I said, okay. I said, how long do I have? 10 minutes. I said, all right. Nobody interrupts? No, nobody interrupts. Y'all stand right there. They'll listen. I said, amen. You know what? He didn't think I'd do it. You know what? He didn't know Jerry Ross. And I did, man. You know, after 7 minutes, he called time. I said, I got 3 minutes. No, we got to go to work, you know. It's all right. Come on. Listen, how are we going to change the world? We're not going to change the world acting like them. We're not going to change the world by turning the church into the world. You talk about disguises. You walk into a church and, you know, what's with the purple and pink lights? I just want to know that. Does that call down the Spirit of God somehow? What is going on? You know, I'm looking at websites, independent fundamental Baptist churches, and their stage looks like a nightclub stage. You know what we're doing? We're wearing disguises. Okay? Good night. If you're in a right kind of church, you know what the environment should be? I always say this. It's too bright, too loud, and too cold. Amen? That's how you know you're in a good church. You know why? Because we're not here to make you comfortable. The Word of God is here to make us uncomfortable. Amen. Okay, we're not here to sway to the music. We're here to hear the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. I'm saying, folks, is, you know, why don't we just be what we say we are? Let's not wear disguises. Are you here? I'm done. Are you here? And you're lost, but you're dressing up today as a Christian. Are you here and you're saved, but come tomorrow, you're going to wear the disguise of the world. Don't wear disguises. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Lord, there will be no disguises at the judgment seat of Christ. We won't be able to pull the wool over your eyes. We're not going to be able to talk ourselves in and out of anything. All will be stripped bare. And what we are, we will be before the eyes of God. Lord, I pray for there may be some here this morning that's never truly been born again, truly been saved. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would please convict their hearts. Help them to realize how much you love them. That you sent your son, God, you sent your son to die on the cross for our sins. I can't get over that. Somebody died for me. Somebody died for every person sitting in this room. Died a horrible death. Died one of the worst deaths any man could die. Took all of the sins of all the world and put him on himself. Became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us. We looked on the timeline of our life and we couldn't find that time when we've been born again. Lord, I pray that for each and every one, dear God, that they would be saved today. If they couldn't find help to be saved today. Lord, I pray, dear God, this message would embolden Christians. Lord, we would just decide we're not going to be just a Christian at church. We're going to be a Christian in our homes. We need to start there. Then we're going to be a Christian at the workplace. We're going to be Christian when we go and interact with others in the community. We're going to be what we are, saved, born again, representatives, ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to stand up for Jesus. Lord, it's not going to get easier to do that. The world is becoming more and more hostile to the Word of God and to what's right. The world wants evil to be called good and good to be called evil. But Jesus Christ, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us to stand where the Bible stands, no matter what. We pray these things in Jesus' name.